Now that the game is done, it's our time to check
final
in.
Final seconds tick down. A three-pointer from Alex Antetokounmpo goes down straight on, and that'll change the score in the end, but it won't change the outcome as the Bucks fall in their final game of this season, 126-106.
Bucks talk starts now.
And Milwaukee's first season out of the playoffs in 10 years has arrived as the Bucks finish the season, 32 wins and 50 losses.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Yeah, the first time in 10 years that this team is not in the playoffs. We knew that, obviously, for a couple of weeks now, but today brings the finality to it. And the end of the season for the Milwaukee Bucks, as they gave a spirited effort through those first 24 minutes, but come up short in Philly, 126-106. As Philly had something to play for here, the Bucks not so much. 76ers had a chance to get out of the play-in tournament and up to that sixth seed. That does not happen, but Orlando losing to the resting Boston Celtics means that Philadelphia at least gets to host that 7-8 matchup with Orlando. And I believe now, because of the Philadelphia Flyers schedule, that game is going to be played on Wednesday. So you'll have the 7-8 Eastern Conference game and the 9-10 Western Conference game on Wednesday, the 9-10 Eastern Conference game and the 7-8. Western Conference game on Tuesday. As the league has already announced, the Warriors are playing on Wednesday. They are the 10th seed. And the Suns are playing on Tuesday. And they are known to be the 7th seed in the West. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk one final time this season here on Bucks Talk. As I know there's some breaking news and reporting that's coming out from ESPN. Coincidentally, the moment that this game came to an end here for the Bucks, but what I would say to that is, first of all, it is not official, so I do want to be careful about how we phrase this and term things. But what I would say is, look, go back and listen to what we played on pregame. Go back and listen to Doc the last four games or so. It has been pretty apparent. This is what's going to happen for Doc Rivers is... The tweet from Sham Sharania indicating this is it for Doc Rivers and that Bucks are going to be making another coaching search here. Third time in the last, 5 years for the Bucks as Doc Rivers is set to ride off into the sunset here. He all but made that clear in the pregame today and said the decision – will it be made sooner rather than later? And said, oh, sooner. And asked, do you get emotional thinking about this today? A lot of very coded questions, too, about returning to Philly and what is potentially his last game. And Doc answered all of those. So I think you kind of knew this is what we were headed towards. But Sham Sharania with the tweet earlier today, minutes ago, I should say, that Doc is departing as head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us one final time this season on Bucks Talk. We will give you the important dates of note. Here is one of them we have not had to pay attention to for 10 years. So what you need to know going into the offseason, we'll get into that and a chance to hear from you one final time as well after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
126-106, the final tonight, though that final score doesn't really carry all that much relevancy, nor does the Bucks' record. They finished 32-50 on the season. We now wait and see what happens with Chicago. If the Bulls beat the Dallas Mavericks in a game that just tipped off earlier tonight, then it comes down to a coin toss for who has the 10th best odds versus 9th best odds in the lottery between the Bucks and the Bulls. What I will tell you is, the difference in 9th best versus 10th best is marginal. It is about a half a percentage in winning the lottery, which is irrelevant to the Bucks, and also moving up to the top four. So it doesn't really matter all that much. Again, the Dallas Mavericks won the lottery last year from the spot the Bucks currently sit in. However, the Bucks cannot win the lottery because of that pick swap. They can get second, so you would need either you win the lottery and the Pelicans jump up to number two, or vice versa. And you would get the two pick in both of those scenarios. The Atlanta Hawks would get the one. But we're going to have to familiarize ourselves with the draft lottery itself and all those other checkpoints along the way, the Chicago pre-workout camps, the lead-up to the draft, draft night itself. It's all relevant to the Bucks this time for the first time in quite some time. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on the season finale edition of Bucks Talk. And again, by the way, there's a tweet from Champ Charania that Doc Rivers will not be the coach of the Bucks next year, which I would just say this isn't exactly breaking news. If you've listened to Doc for the last 2 weeks or so, he has basically all but said this without saying it. But that is the reporting from Doc Rivers, or excuse me, from Champ Charania, the future of Doc Rivers. Let's go to the phone lines one final time here and check in with Dick in Port Washington. Well, where do you want to start with this one, Dick? Because I would assume you've picked up on all the rest of that stuff too and heard what Doc has had to say. It's not a surprise, especially considering the optics of this season and the fact that you missed the playoffs for the first time in 10 years. But now we get additional sources that are saying, yeah, this is it for Doc. So the Bucks are going to begin the search for a head coach once more. There, the lottery itself, the season as a whole, and your thoughts in it, where would you like to begin?
Well, first of all, I think that Cham's got a new job with Travelocity as being Captain Obvious. Anyone could listen to Doc last week or two, and that's my problem with the Shams guy. I mean, where's Woj? You know, he never would stoop to that stuff. But I've got two things. One is a post today that I found disturbing, and I don't know if you've even seen this, by Gary Wolfel from the Racine Current Times.
No, I'll stop that? You there. No, I did not see anything from Gary Wolfel.
Okay, well, he's almost like a Shams, but he does seem to be right a fair amount, and I don't know who his contacts are, but he says that this coming week there's going to be a big change in Milwaukee, and it relates to ownership, and I'm quoting him. Sources contend Jim Haslam III is angling to become the controlling owner of the franchise. As of now, Haslam, Wes Edens, and Jamie Dimon have all equal power, and that would be real disturbing to me, since he's proven ineptness in football, although he's won a soccer championship. I find it scary. My assumption was that Edens had another year as the governor, and then it would go to Haslam. Am I right about that, or what do you think of this?
Well, it's obviously a little touchy for me, given those guys effectively signed the checks that I get. So what I'll say is, yes, Wes Edens is the governor through one more season. But I wouldn't be surprised by it because, you know, I think the same kind of applies to coaching. When you hear coaches and executives, they don't really want to go into a lame duck season as having that type of control. And I wouldn't be shocked if that applied to an ownership group as well, especially when you look at the value of franchises skyrocketing. And if there is, in fact, expansion, I think there's two schools of thought. Number one, get out now before you got to split up that pie 32 ways instead of 30 ways. And with the cost continuing to skyrocket, if you get out now, you can also dangle that as a carrot. Look, I know it's a lot, but you're going to get this windfall in what the two new owners are paying to get into this league if we do pass expansion. So I wouldn't be stunned if that were the case because, I mean, look, anyone in that position, whatever it is you think about, whoever it is as an owner, there, you don't buy into an ownership group to be in the minority. Like at some point you have your eyes on, I want to get my feet wet here. And I think that's the exact terminology we heard about Jimmy Haslam when he bought Mark Lazary's stake, was he wants to kind of get his feet wet on the NBA side. He has, as you mentioned, experience in the NFL and MLS. But I would like to get into NBA as well and kind of figure things out there. And now I've done my, 2 years of that? Okay, now I think I know what to do here. So I would like to take on more of that ownership. That That would not surprise me. And you mentioned, too, he has won a championship in soccer. So has the new Bucks president, Josh Glessing, who was the president of that team. So there is that crossover. I don't have anything further on that. I don't know how comfortable I would be talking on it, even if I did have anything further. But I would just say it wouldn't surprise me.
For my last call, I should put you on the hot seat one more time. What the hell? But it does. There's some credence in it because the new president is from the Columbus Crew and stuff. Moving onward, you asked me what my impressions were of the year. There's a part of me that, you know, within the first 9 minutes of the season, the plan kind of was blown up right away as soon as Porter was injured.
Yeah.
And then it kind of snowballed after that. I would like to have seen how that would have transpired if everyone stayed healthy. I think it's going to be an ugly, ugly summer. And I think the blame isn't all Giannis's, but I think it's about 75%. And the other 25% is from the Bucks because they didn't learn the lessons of what happened in this state when this happened two other times. You can't have
somewhat recently too.
You can't have the star player dictating things to the point where I still see very vividly Giannis walking around with a yellow legal pad going into the huddle and diagramming plays. What the H was that about? And he could have eliminated a lot of the tensions that happened this year. And I'm not saying that the players were against Doc or whatever, but it's human nature that when you see the franchise player hesitating to say definitively that he's here, you know, he never really came out and said that. And I put the blame on him. I think from some of the other talking heads, the fact alone that two roster spots were taken up by relatives is questionable. And going into this next year, that's going to have to be addressed if he stays and if he doesn't stay. I think if he doesn't stay, it's going to be solved because wherever he goes, those two guys are going to go with him.
I don't know.
As much as I, who could you get to be better than those two? A lot of different guys.
Well, I'm saying I don't know that we're if he does. I'm not willing to say it's a foregone conclusion that the whole group comes with him if there is a move.
Well, in order to keep him happy. And that's the problem we made. I mean, you know, when Favre moved his locker out of the locker room, someone should have said, what the hell's going on?
But here? And also, in order to, I mean, if there's a move, he's moving on in theory to a team that has a better chance to contend for a championship. That in itself is the move to make him happy, not, okay, this is coming with you. And I do wonder, especially given. Let's just say there's a trade, hypothetically. The cost of his contract and the contracts that are going to have to be moved in this to match the salaries is the number one reason why it was never going to happen at the trade deadline. It was always going to happen over the summer because of that, because it's easier where you can make – you have more flexibility of like, okay, we have until the league year starts, the season starts to get under this threshold level – that we can continue to make some moves, and it's not just we got a day to figure this out at the trade deadline, but we're hard capped at this apron or this apron or this apron. So it was always going to happen over the summer if it does in fact happen, but because of the size of his contract, that's a lot of money that you're moving around then to say, okay, we're going to do this, and then we're going to sign this guy to this, and we're going to sign this guy to this. Like, you are going to hamstring yourself pretty significantly. I think we have seen that in each of these previous incidents of where you've traded a player and a contract like that, that's why I just say, I don't know. I'm not willing to say one way or another, if it's Milwaukee or a new team, that it's a package deal and the whole thing is coming with this time.
And I still think, you know, everybody keeps talking about New York and run it back and all these guys. It's just like it's nauseating. They're still handicapped, aren't they, quite a bit due to monetary reasons?
Well, it changes over the summer. Yeah, I mean, it changes over the summer because of what I said, where they are this year, that they were a second apron team. I mean, they're going to be at best a first apron team next season, because as of this moment, going into the summer, they have 9 guys under contract, and they're already at the first apron. So you can do a lot more where you can say, okay, we're going to trade for him, and as it stands right now, we're in the second apron, but we can continue to make moves throughout the summer and trade this and this and this to kind of shed some of that money. So, I mean, it's going to linger. Actually, I take that back. It is the big thing you have to solve this summer, and you hope it doesn't linger. Like, you hope whatever the decision is that both sides reach here is pretty rapid, right? Just like we've seen with the reporting, and again, from Doc himself, what his future appears to be with the Bucks. Thanks for the call, Dick, as always, and for all the calls throughout the season and your insights and thoughts on this group. The past few years, obviously, much more pleasant than we've had this season. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talking text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So again, some of the words from Doc Rivers that we heard before this game and in recent days, we'll revisit some of that in light of this reporting from Shams Charania and the dates, the key dates to be aware of. We'll get to that after this.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks lose the final game of the season in Philadelphia to finish at 32-50. And the reports coming out immediately after the game that Doc Rivers will not return as head coach. You know, Doc himself had already basically told us this. And even today, especially with that game being in Philadelphia, he was asked quite a bit about when will you make the decision. You go back to last week where he said when that reporting first started to trickle out and he was asked about, you know, what is the future hold for you? Have you started to think about that? And just kind of said, I won't answer that, but I'll just say I have grandkids. It is probably time I start to see my grandkids, and I'll leave it at that, which gave you a pretty good sense of where things were headed. He continued that in games that would follow. And then again today in Philadelphia, asked about his future and saying, I will make a decision quickly. And when it was sooner rather than later, sooner. I mean, the real tell was when he was asked, do you get emotional thinking about this could be it and you're back in Philly and what that means to you? And he entertained and answered all those questions that it's been there and it's been out there for a while. I mean, even going back, what, a month and a half, when Stephen A. Smith had said, oh, Doc Rivers is going to retire at the end of the season, and he's already told people this. So in that regard, it's not a surprise. But here's the thing. You know, when we talk about how do you reach a point where – this is the first time in 10 years that you're not in the playoffs. Since May of 2023, the Bucks will now have had, if you count Joe Prunty in his 3-game interim stretch, that's 5, but 4 head coaches in basically 3 calendar years. You know, like that's how you get to that level. And I get what people have done quite a bit this season and looking at some of the new names and especially new names in the ownership group and saying, oh, well, I've seen this in Cleveland and this and this and this, and this is exactly that. Well, guess what? He wasn't here for all of it. This started before that. And these seeds were sown in May of 2023 when you probably, and I don't have it in front of me, but I believe they overachieved expectations in terms of their expected win-loss by the statistics that they put up in their metrics that year. But you won, what, 58 games and were the one seed in the 22-23 season. And then you faced a team that should not have been an 8 seed. Now, you're the one seed. Should you still be expecting to win your series? Yes. But that Miami Heat team, as we saw, they were not an 8 seed. And Jimmy Butler especially, what he did in that series was something else. That, you know, the ultimate question, and it's TBD in terms of the answer, what was the original sin? Was it hiring and making all the moves you made along the way? Was it firing Mike Budenholzer? And I think it's probably somewhere in the middle that maybe it was time to go. Maybe it was an overreaction to a one seed that loses to an eight seed, and you know, a one seed where you had structure, you had culture, you had an identity. And those are all things that we said have kind of either completely exited or you've had to work to repair them pretty significantly these past couple of seasons. But maybe it was time. I'll grant you that. The moves that you've made, and it just shows you the importance of having a plan and saying, look, if we're going to do this, what is plan B? If we're making this move, what are we moving on to next? And I don't know that those answers were ever fully answered or vetted out to get to that point. It's just led to what we've seen along the way here. So now the big piece is we wait and see what happens with Giannis. And Dick mentioned, you know, the blame pie and assigned some percentages. I'm not going to give percentages because there's a lot that we don't know. You know, I think there's a lot of Bucks fans that come down on one side, and the reporting that they've heard and continually read from ESPN and Shams Charania and have been very, very much against that and railed against it because it's just not true. And it's another example of they're trying to extract Giannis out of Milwaukee, and they've done this for 10 plus years. So I just don't trust it. The truth is always somewhere in the middle, right? I mean, Dick mentioned the first 9 minutes of the season when Kevin Porter Jr. goes down. It goes back even earlier than that, where the season itself just got off to a very strange start. If we go all the way back to Media Day, when this team was reconstructed and they were going to be younger, they were still one of the older teams in the league, but they were going to be younger, they were going to play more athletic and play quicker, and that just kind of fell by the wayside. But it was a new group, right? Dame was gone. Chris Middleton was gone. Brooke Lopez was gone. You look at other role players through the years, like Wesley Matthews and those guys. Pat Connaughton was gone. It was just Giannis, Bobby Portis, and Thanasis were the holdovers. And one of those guys wasn't there on media day. And again, it's not to blame Giannis. It's not to say, oh, he made it up. But Giannis wasn't there for COVID. And it just started on this weird note if we go back to, what, I think September 29th or 30th, whenever media day was. And there was that. And that was the elephant in the room, that Giannis was on a Zoom call. And it just felt strange. And that just carried over all throughout the season. Injuries were a big piece of it, but there are other factors into this as well, which we have talked about quite a bit on this show. So I do want to address some of those as we start to look ahead to the offseason. And then again, the key dates to keep in mind, we'll run through those next on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
On to the offseason for the Bucks, who wrap up the season with a 20-point loss in Philadelphia to the 76ers. Game where they, for all intents and purposes, had seven guys available throughout this game. There were some silver linings and some positives. They do get washed out by the rest of what we saw. This team win just 32 games. This team missed the postseason for the first time in 10 years. Moments after the season ended, Doc Rivers, there's no official statement from the team, too. I want to be clear on that, or Doc. But Doc, he'd put this out there, basically, without literally saying this. But the reporting that Doc Rivers is choosing to step away is the wording that I've seen from. There's been conflicting reports on it, but Sam Amick and Eric Name of The Athletic having that. It's Doc that's retiring, essentially. And they're still in discussions of will he do something in the organization, in the front office, perhaps. That now, I also want to be clear, and we talked about people can jump to conclusions over the ownership debate. Same thing happens here, where everybody's, oh, he's going to jump to the front office. That means he's going to be in charge of this, 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 and this. I would not put it at that. You know, unless this becomes the situations where, like, Brad Stevens is moving into the front office to assume this role. That's different from whenever you see, oh, this coach has 1 year left and he's going to move up to the front office and then ride off into the sunset. I mean this in the most respectful way possible. It's basically you're the assistant to the assistant manager, and you're going to do some things. You're going to add a fresh set of eyes. You're going to help out with this, this, and this, but you're not the decision maker. And I would assume that's what we're looking at here, if that's in fact what happens with Doc Rivers. But the big things are this. The draft lottery is May 10th, so about a month away. Right now it depends what happens with this Bulls-Mavericks game, but I would say it doesn't really. Because if the season were to end right now, the Bucks would have the 10th best odds to win the lottery. If Chicago wins today, Then it comes down to a coin toss between the Bucks and the Bulls for who has the 9th or 10th best odds. The difference doesn't matter. It's less than a half a percentage point that your chances go up or down, depending on if you're 9th best or 10th best. So May 10th is when we find out where are the Bucks drafting. And remember, they cannot draft first overall. They cannot win the lottery because of that pick swap with the Pelicans, which New Orleans has since traded to the Atlanta Hawks. So it's the Bucks and the Hawks that are getting these two picks. New Orleans is out of it, but their draft position is what matters. So if the Bucks win the lottery, which, again, the Dallas Mavericks did from the spot the Bucks are in last year, if the Bucks win the lottery, it means the Atlanta Hawks get the number one pick in the draft, and the Bucks would get whatever happens with New Orleans. So the best they can do is second in this draft. They're very likely to be picking 10th. But May 10th is when we find out where they are picking. And then, you know, scouting and paying attention to guys that played in the NCAA tournament, international prospects, and guys that are going to be taken in the top half of the draft, something we haven't had to worry about or do for 10 years. That all changes this year. They could slide down as low as, 14, the Bucks could, if four teams jump into the top four from behind them, which is very, very unlikely. But it's probably going to be 10 that they're picking. So we'll find out for sure on May 10th. The draft is the final week of June, which I believe this year is going to be the 24th and the 25th. And in the time between those two dates, just familiarizing yourself with those prospects, the Chicago camps, and everything else that goes on, and some more scuttlebutt that you'll hear about any potential moves the Bucks could make. Hey, with that pick, too. You know, like, things as like, we heard John Horst himself say in that interview with Eric Name and Jim Ozarski, we got three picks that we could trade this summer. And one of the big themes that had been touched on in recent reports was even Doc Rivers himself saying we didn't build a good enough roster. And John Horst talked about that and said, we have things that we can do to help with that. We have three draft picks we could trade. We have tradable contracts that we could move. You could get an injection of youth with the number 10 pick or better. And you're coming to Giannis then and saying, look, Ryan Rollins took a massive step. We think there's something here in Usman Jang. Sounds like they're going to work out a deal for him to remain in Milwaukee. We've seen some growth from Jericho Sims, although he has a player option this summer. Maybe we got something in Cormac Ryan, too. A.J. Green started to come on strong down the stretch. So we feel like we've started to add more pieces that make sense. We're adding a better piece with the 10 pick, and that's going to help us out next year. And we have things like a mid-level exception, which is about $16 million, a biannual exception, which is about $5.5 or $6 million. So there are things we can do to improve this roster, and we feel like if we do that and find the right coach, as again, Doc has all but said this in the reporting that's coming out that they will be searching for a new coach. I'm going to say it one more time, but I just keep going back to the Phoenix Suns, and I look at that roster, and no one looked at that roster before the season and said, this is potentially a top six team in the West. They didn't ultimately get there, but it took until the final 2 weeks of the season for them to be knocked down to the play-in tournament in the Western Conference. And the East is going to be better next year. But the importance there is, look, find the right coach and play a modern play style. And I think that's the thing that have been missing for the last 2+ years. You know, Doc Rivers has 25+ years of experience as a head coach, but most of those coaches are used to playing a certain way, that you have to have a superstar or collection of superstars or someone else in your staff that it's just the, no, we got to do this and we got to try this and try this and we got to lean into these things. Things like offensive rebounding from that era, you never did it because that hurt you in transition defense. So let's just punt on that. Let's get back in transition. High turnover, high pressure, ball pressure teams. A lot of coaches, Bud, wouldn't do that either because, well, it increases the chances that we're putting them at the free throw line and that's going to increase their offensive output. Let's stay away from that. These are not the ways that this game is being played anymore. So if you do those things, if Giannis is still here, if you bring back those pieces, if you see Ryan Rollins surrounded with better players and that type of system and coaching and play style, would the Bucks be an inner circle title contender? Probably not. But would you be entering the season and saying, look, last year, the season from hell, everything, just about everything that could go wrong did go wrong. We feel like we've corrected a lot of it this year and we're going to catch people by surprise. Maybe we can be the 5 seed. And then who knows what happens from there. The big thing from Giannis, and I talked about this with Jim Ozarski as well, is we talk about Giannis wants to compete for championships, and that is true. But I think the bigger thing is it doesn't necessarily mean I need to be on one of the top two record teams in my conference, and I need to be surrounded with superstars. I just need to have a chance. Right? Like seventh in the East, maybe not. Sixth, yeah, maybe it's a bit of a stretch, right? But can you get me to like 4 or 5 where it's, you know, that's not a team I'd love to face in the playoffs. I think that's the big thing, and there is an avenue to get there this summer. But you know, those are the key dates to keep an eye on here as we head now into the off season. We will wrap up the show and the season as the Bucks come up short in Philly tonight and the 58th season of Bucks basketball comes to an end with no trip to the postseason. We'll do our sign off and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.126 the final score in the final game of the season and the first time in 10 years that there is no postseason for the Milwaukee Bucks. That is going to bring an end to this show and this season. Before we do sign off, I do want to call attention and thanks to everyone that has helped us on these shows and these game broadcasts all throughout the season here at the Radio Network Studios and on the flagship WTMJ. Evan Witalison taking a lion's share of these games and post-game shows. Matt Yazel, another one you've heard from all throughout the season. Chris Larson doing a lot of the work for us when we have been moved over to 94.5 ESPN and in game ops. Nate Rilling, Isaac Marquardt, Jaslyn Snell, Greg Hill, Tim Shea, all of those, and frankly, some other names that I am probably leaving off of that and unfortunately missing as well. Our thanks to each and every one of them for helping us throughout the course of this season. The Milwaukee Bucks for their assistance with our player interviews, information, and everything else that we need to get these broadcasts on the air. Johnny Watson and Dustin Godsey is our two primary go-tos for assistance on that. The media relations staff for the Bucks: Barry Baum, Dan Smiechek, Kate Reed, Amanda Jancic, and all their support throughout this season. And, of course, each and every one of you who have tuned in tonight and all through this season, a challenging season at that. It is my absolute privilege to be a part of this show, these broadcasts, the Milwaukee Bucks organization, and connect with each and every one of you over this shared interest in this passion that we have of Milwaukee Bucks basketball and the NBA itself all throughout the season. And now for the last 11 seasons on the network broadcast and I believe 7 seasons on this post-game show. So it is something that is not lost on me that you have a choice to make in terms of the information and the coverage that you get. And to choose this is something that I am eternally grateful for. But this closes the book on the 58th season of Milwaukee Bucks basketball. And again, it is one that did not go or end as any of us hoped that it would. There will be brighter days in the future. But as far as what the future brings, we now wait and see in what figures to be a very eventful offseason. And I know we said that last year. It was, with the waving and stretching of Damian Lillard, the addition of Miles Turner, but now this season it is incredibly likely there is going to be a head coaching search. There is going to be a lottery pick for the Bucks, and the elephant in the room is the future of Giannis that you have to work through and sort through as well. The NBA draft lottery again is May 10th, so that is when we find out where the Bucks will be selecting in this draft, which will take place on June 24th, night one, or the lottery of the draft will take place then, and then 1 week later, free agency begins for the Bucks and all other teams here in the NBA. In the meantime, as we're not going to be back here on these airwaves until October, so we get 6 months off. Every year, the offseason gets longer and longer, unfortunately. But in the meantime, I do want to remind you, we will not be here on these airwaves for 6 months. You can still find me and these articulate, insightful, sometimes entertaining, oftentimes accurate takes on the Milwaukee Bucks daily on Locked On Bucks, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. So if you need your fix, by all means, we welcome you to join us over there. Otherwise, we wait now for 6 months when we will talk to you again in October for the 59th season of Milwaukee Bucks basketball. When that is exactly in October is TBD. The schedule is a floating date, but it is usually mid-August that we get that schedule for Bucks basketball. So be on the lookout for that. And then we will go from there. All those names that I mentioned, Evan and Chris are the two helping us on the air tonight and bringing this season to a close. So my many, many thanks to those two, to Dick, to all of you guys for tuning in tonight and all throughout the season as well. We'll talk to you once again next season on Bucks Talk.